pray. Dear God and Father, we thank you so much that you've given us the wisdom to live life. Father, we pray that you will be working tonight to inculcate your wisdom into our minds, into our hearts. Father, that we want to be like you. We want to see the world as you see it. We want to understand what you understand. Father, we want to be wise. Father, we know that that's not within our power, but we also know that you've given your spirit to us. You've given your wisdom to us. You've given us your word. Help us to learn. Help us to make it part of our lives. Father, please help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, I guess I have to teach this class tonight. My name was on it, so, you know. But I'm not that motivated, so.
Come on.
You know, we'll see what we can do.
Come on, Peter.
You know, I don't even fake that well, because I'm... I wake up in the morning and I am so grateful that God's given me another morning. That God's given me another day. That he hasn't had me fired from my job yet. That's a good thing, you know. I am grateful for that. What we're talking about, of course, Proverbs at work. The wisdom of God, the wisdom of Proverbs in your work. And tonight we're talking about, how's your motivation? How's your motivation? Now, let's think about that. Motivation. You want to define that for me? What's a motivation? Something that gets you up and going. You ever heard of a locomotive? That's a really crazy reason to do something. No, that's something else. No, but a locomotive is not a crazy reason. But a locomotive is that engine that pulls the train, right? It's the power that drives it. Motive, motion, movement. Your motivation is what moves you. When I interview people to hire, one question I love to ask is, what gets you out of bed in the morning? The joker will save the alarm clock, but they know what I mean, right? Why do you want to be at work? What excites you? Okay? What gets you going? I ask that question when I'm interviewing for a job. What is this job? Because I'm blessed right now with a good enough job that I don't need to go change jobs just to change jobs. Thank God for that. But that means I can be picky. I want a job that motivates me. I want something that, you know. But a job isn't a very good motivation at the end of the day. Because jobs go wrong, jobs go poorly, things happen. Okay. I got to get you guys involved because... y'all look kind of zoned. It's Thursday night. The Braves don't even start until 9:30. Come on, it's a West Coast game. You don't have to be home yet. Okay? Stick with me here. So, who's had a lousy boss? Admit it. Come on.
Come on, admit it.
You had a lousy boss. I've had a lousy boss, okay? What makes a lousy boss? Not to be judgmental here, okay?
Unapproachability.
Unapproachable. Unapproachable.
Know-it-all.
Micromanager. Now, know-it-all, I resent that, because I know it all. No. Yeah. What else have I heard? Unprofessional. That covers a lot of ground, doesn't it?
Foul mouth.
Okay. I'm sorry. Foul mouth.
Anger issues.
I'm thinking dumb jokes about chicken, so I almost wrote foul with a W. You know, that's just the way the brain works. Okay. I'm sorry. Unethical. Ooh.
Condescending.
Oh, don't worry, I can spell anything. See? We can do it.
Unreasonable.
Loco, right? Unreasonable.
Underqualified.
Joel's favoritism.
off at 10. I know you can keep going all night.
You all work for this man or this woman?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us have.
Yeah.
Is that demotivating?
Yes.
Another day.
Right?
Right.
We'll put the great boss in blue.
Yeah,
just for
go.
Color, you know, variety, whatever. Great boss. Who's worked for a great boss?
Okay, good. Almost as many as have worked for a lousy boss. It's a good thing. That is good. So give me some characteristics of a great boss.
Thanks,
Mike. Okay, shall I just do the opposite of each
Not
of these?
Not there very much.
Inverse. Okay.
Good
approachable. Appreciative.
Caring.
Stays out of the way.
Yeah.
Inspirational.
Understanding.
Go with that on the same wavelength, same thought patterns.
Solves problems. Understanding. Encouraging.
Sharing.
Encouraging. I didn't have that already. Wow. Encouraging.
Hard worker.
Give days off.
Hard worker. Wow.
Listens. I'm sorry. What were you talking?
Listens.
Okay. Good enough. I ran out of paper. Okay. So, again, those qualities are awesome. You work for that boss. Do you feel motivated? Yeah. You know, it would be great if you could work for the perfect boss all the time. Oh, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. I know that's not in Proverbs, but it's a good one. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for a really good boss. No, as working for the Lord, not for men. Okay? In a bad job, memorize that verse. Make it the screensaver on your computer. Scribble it on the wall. Do whatever you got to do because you're not working for the man or the woman. You're working for God. Ecclesiastes, a book of wisdom. Chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your, this time it's might. I like the reason. For in the grave where you're going, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. You know? You're going to get there. Might as well work hard now. Okay? I kind of like that. Isn't that an inspirational thought? You're going to be dead anyway. You might as well work hard. So, I think you meant it in a more positive sense than that. But that is true, okay? We don't control when we live, when we die. We don't always control what boss we have or our work environment. A bad work environment, bad coworkers, bad situation, high stress. I'm creating that at my work right now. We have some huge, huge projects, and we have not been able to hire up to the potential, and I've got a lot of people working 12-hour days, working weekends, way too many weekends. I'm killing them, and it's not a fun thing for me to do, and it's not fun for them, but I am telling them there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're going to get through this, and then we're going to get back to normal life, you know, the normal 10-hour days. So, but seriously, you know, for a short time, we can work pretty hard, right? Mm-hmm. For a long time, that just wears you out, you know? But whatever job you're looking for, or whatever job you have, or whatever job you wish you had, if the job determines your motivation, you're destined for some trouble.
That's right.
Best boss in the world? Which, of course, clearly I am. No. But even so, I'm giving my staff a really hard time right now. You know, I don't really have a lot of choice there, but it's what we're doing. Every job has its bad days. It's going to happen. And if your motivation is situational, you're cooked. You can't do it. What's the best motivation at work? You know, if you're lucky enough to work at a great company, makes a difference in the world, doing something you love to do, you've got a great boss, you've got great relationships with all your coworkers, then you're probably not having too much trouble with motivation. But you're also going to run into problem because next week or next month or next year, it won't be that good. For the other 98% of us, we got to find our motivation somewhere else, right? The key is remember who you work for. I said put that as your screensaver, as your pop-up. I actually have done that. Okay, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. I had to remind myself, I'm not here for the boss. I'm not here for the paycheck. I am kind of, but... But at the end of the day, I'm here for God. So, there you go. Good boss, bad boss, either way, you need to be motivated. Why? Because it says so in Proverbs. We'll get there in just a minute. Okay, before we go to Proverbs, I like lists. You might have noticed that. This way you teach the class, and I just have to, you know, whatever you teach, wherever we go, you know, we got it. What are some signs when you're looking at your own life or when you're looking at a coworker that the motivation is gone? Got bad motivation. What are the tells? Signs of non-motivation. Okay, so I'm sorry. What are the signs of you or your coworker is clearly not motivated?
Complacency.
Complacency? C, that's a C there, really. Okay. Missing work?
They're always checking career builder on there. On
job websites. I might add that, by the way, on Facebook. No one here would check your Facebook while you're at work, while you're being paid by someone else, right? No one would do that, right? You know, very seriously, Facebook had an outage. There was a spike in productivity at many workplaces. Think about it.
Late,
missing work, late, leave early. We'll put all those on one line. Complains.
Not doing their job.
Just not doing the job, yeah. Poor performance, just period, right? Now, poor performance can be, I don't know how to do my job. It can be, I don't have the right tools to do my job. But sometimes you got to look within, right? What is it they once told me? If one person calls you a donkey, you can ignore them. If two people call you a donkey, you might start worrying about it. If three people call you a donkey, start looking for the hoof prints. You know, at some point it comes back to you. It's not the boss's fault. It's not the, it's me. Okay, I need to pick it up. Anyway, this is free of charge. You can. Okay, what else? Signs of non-motivation.
Lazy.
Big one, right? Kind of up there already, but lazy.
Distracted.
And I'm going to lead you with one here because I'm going to it later, but yeah. I'm sorry?
Not interested in improving.
Not interested in improving, okay. Focus on socializing.
Water cooler.
Gossip. Et cetera. All those things you talked about last week, right? Okay. And I'm going to lead this. What's the general demeanor, attitude of someone with a motivation problem?
Negative.
Negative. Critic. We got the complainer.
Sluggish.
But where I'm going is... I don't care. I'm not going to do that. That's not my job. You know? Oh, man, I hate that employee. You know? I say, I need you to help. We're moving a data center. I need you to get there. I need you to help pull some stuff. I get a complaint later. Well, all it was I was unplugging a bunch of cables and pulling them. It's like, yeah, you were moving a data center. We needed you to do that. We were paying you whatever it was, $40 an hour to come just do it. Cheerful. Get over it. You know. Yeah, I mean, come on. Right? It's like, my head's going to explode. What is the problem? What is the deal? You're such a prima donna, you won't take my money to do, you know. Oh, that work is beneath me? Anyway, we had a discussion. The attitude got better. Okay, anyway. So, yeah. Okay, so I want to pick up on a couple of these. We could dive into any of these, and you could find a lot of proverbs about them. You could find a lot of biblical teaching about them. But the bottom line is, what's your motivation underlying that, right? The reality is, you know, and when Jeff and I were talking about who's teaching what and all that, for some reason he thought he mistook hyperactivity for motivation. So he thought, you know, I can do this. But there is something to that. Having some energy about what you're doing, that sluggishness. Laziness, I'm going to pick on first, okay? The other one I'm going to pick on, obviously, I really led you on that one, but you had almost said it. I had to get you there. Okay, laziness. So, someone find Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Someone else find Revelation 22, verse 15. See, the joy of smaller group teaching is I can pick on people by name. It's, you know, it's nothing. I'm not a very good preacher, but I love this. Okay, so Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Who wants to read that out loud for me? Somebody turn to it. Okay, yes. Fire away.
When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God.
I think you must have left out a word. I didn't hear lazy anywhere in there. Check that carefully. Does it not have lazy in it? Doesn't have lazy in it. Okay, well. Okay, well, maybe it's in Revelation 22, verse 15. Who's got that one? Yeah.
Outside of the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying.
Lying, murdering. Did you leave out laziness?
I guess I did.
You know, you look around, you just don't find, you know, laziness. Is it, you know, what kind of sin is it? It doesn't seem to be called out as one of those sins in the sin lists. But, oh man, does it get called out in Proverbs. Okay? You got your pencils ready? Actually, if you have those little booklets we passed out the first week, did everyone, who wasn't here that first week, 3 weeks ago? I have a few spares that I hijacked that night. So, whoever needs some extras, this is lots of Proverbs about work. Share one. And Jeff, you can pick any others you find. Okay. So you just circle them in those notes if you want to also. Okay. But there's a lot on laziness. Okay. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. That's not aunt. Ant, you know. Okay. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer, gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed lion. Armed man, no. The lion's later, he's out in the street. Okay. Proverbs 10:4, good buddy. Okay, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. That's Proverbs 10:4. Proverbs 12:11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies might translate that today. He who surfs the web lacks judgment. Anyway, just thinking out loud here, okay. Verse 24, same chapter, Proverbs 12. Verse 24. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. That's a distinction we'll hit back on in a little while. But the Bible doesn't differentiate a whole lot between employee and slave. Get over your old self and work, right? Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. When I read that one, I kind of wonder, is the way of the sluggard really blocked with thorns? Or is it just that he perceives it as blocked with thorns and doesn't feel like going down that road, you know? Yeah. That looks like a lot of work. How many times have you put off something that looked like a lot of work, and then when you finally bit the bullet, plunged in, and did it, it took about 30 minutes? You know? It's like, start! Do something, you know? You might find out it's easier than you know? But we convince ourselves, and that's the lazy mind. Oh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. I don't want to have to do that. Proverbs 18, verse 9. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. Ooh. Believe me, I believe that about my employees if they're slack in their work. They're destroying my company. You know? They're killing me, man. You're killing me. Okay. If you're slack, you're a destroyer. There's not a lot of middle ground there. Well, I'm not doing any harm. Yes, you are. The Bible says so. Proverbs 19, verse 15. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. Food pantry's at my house. Come on by. I'm not going to shame you over it. But that said, you know, there's a verse somewhere later in the Bible that says something about if you don't work, you don't eat. Verse 25, same chapter, Proverbs 19. 24, did I say 25? I think of it. 24. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He will not even bring it back to his mouth. That's just sad, okay? And you know what? The worst part? It's me. Goes on and on. You can just keep flipping through Proverbs. I mean, these are not hard to find, okay? The lesson is there. In the interest of time, we won't hit every one of those verses. But let me ask the question, then. Who here has ever been lazy? Ever been lazy? Yeah. You know, if you've never been lazy, then God bless you. That is awesome. You know, that is great. I won't even stand up here and call you a liar. Possibly self-deceived. Who knows? Anyway. But I am a lazy bum. You give me a Saturday with nothing on the calendar, and I want to crawl out of bed somewhere at the crack of noon. And in this season, turn on a bunch of college football games and watch them till it's someone feeds me dinner. Go play my trumpet, because I won't let that go, no matter how lazy I'm being. And then collapse, you know, read a book. Watch a rerun of The Mentalist, you know. That's my weakness. I like The Mentalist. Okay, so, you know, my druthers, that's who I am. That is the truth. Now, I tell people, you know, people at work say, how can you do all these things you do, Peter? Because, you know, they find out that I'm, you know, a deacon at church, or that I'm playing in three different bands, or that I'm doing this, or that, you know, and I'm working. How do you do all that? My line is always, I'm not good at sitting still. Yeah. But that's kind of true, but that's also kind of not true, because I could sit still all day. It wouldn't bother me a bit, except for my conscience. Okay? The fact is, I'd love to be lazy. I'm just can't let myself. Because I wake up, remember back to that beginning? I wake up every morning and say, thank you, God, I have another day. Bit of story about me, and this is not, oh, wow, poor Peter. But back when I was in first grade, I couldn't walk, more or less. I could kind of get around with stiff legs. But I was a cripple. I rode the short bus, you know, the one with a lift. I couldn't get on a bus unless it had a lift. I was a sick kid. And the disease I had, one-third of the time, it's fatal. And one-third of the time, you're crippled for life. And one-third of the time, you end up some sort of geek like me. So, I have specific reasons to be grateful every single day of my life. I could have not been here. And that's really true for all of us. You know, that's a dramatic story. You know, it wasn't so dramatic when you were a kid living it. It just seemed like life. But, you know, looking back, it's like, wow, that's kind of, you know. But when were you almost run down by some car? When were you almost caught in a fire? When were you, you know, every one of us could be dead. And you've been given the gift of the life that you have.
Come on, bro.
So, lists. Oh, yes, I like lists. You know? What are the things I have to do today? Because God's given me life. And how am I going to get them? That's what it's all about. You know, I could be dead tomorrow. Y'all come to my funeral, right? Actually, I don't really want a funeral. Y'all can have a party, have a big singing fest. That would be good, you know, that's fine.
Can I play your trumpet?
Sure. I told Nancy, just burn the body, you know, that I don't care about. You know, but the reality is I could be dead tomorrow. I better live today.
Right.
And that's not just about work, that's about everything in your life. Don't be lazy. You know, and lazy is a choice. As I say, I mean, I'd be perfectly content running that Saturday that I described. And a lot of you guys in here would be also, wouldn't you? You know, and maybe you'd do something else. But that's fine. But don't let yourself be controlled by that.
Right.
One of the first lessons you learn as a little kid, if your parents try to bring you up right, is self-discipline. Control your body, right? Don't be lazy. So, that's one of them. And in the interest of time, let's talk about rebellion. This is your cue, Alan. You say, I don't want to. I don't want to talk about rebellion. I don't want to listen to this guy. I don't want to be here. I don't want to go to work. Okay. You know, rebellion, we usually think about rebellion as, you know, like armed revolt, pitchforks, and, you know, storm the castle. And, you know, for the right cause, nothing in the world wrong with that, I suppose. But rebellion, the Bible has some very severe things to say about, doesn't it? But at work, what are the characteristics you see in someone who's rebellious? Don't follow the rules?
Always disagreeable.
Disagreeable. Okay? Without making excuses? Their way's the best. When they should jolly well know mine is the best. Anyway, yeah. Won't take instruction. Okay, real life story. Today, we have an employee, remote employee. You'll never meet him unless you happen to be visiting Amsterdam. And that's all the clues I'll give you. Anyway. And he's saying, oh, I got too much work to do with this exchange thing. We're trying to fix this problem in exchange. And my IT director gets on the phone with him and says, I have two people here ready to help. They can pitch in. They're exchange experts. And he says, no, they can't help. So he just wanted to complain, obviously. You know, I mean, what do you do? So he had to deal with that. Anyway, there's another something back here. More. Okay. So rebellion at work usually does not show up as an armed revolt, unless you work at the post office. It usually does. He had to go there, yes. But you know, usually. Was that? Did I lose my inside voice? I'm sorry. No. Okay. No, there's a reason they lock me in a cage. Okay. So, rebellion at work usually, though, is these things you're talking about. Just won't take instruction. Won't take advice. Kind of does it my own way. I tell the employee, I need you to go sit down and go do this right now. That's your top priority. And he's going to get to it, but he's going to do three other things first. He's not telling me, no, you are an evil person, and I'm not. He's not. He just kind of goes and does something else anyway. Passive resistance. You ever heard that term?
Yes.
I'm not fighting with you. I'm just not doing anything you want me to do. Okay, that's rebellion. Now turn that on yourself. Do you ever do that?
Yeah. I mean,
do your children ever do that? Go clean your room.
Yeah. Okay, Mom. I'm watching TV first, though.
No, you know, it's like, it's so hard to fight that because they're not angry and in your face and yelling at you. They're just not doing it. So you got to, like, follow them around and be the parent. No, I said go do this first. Don't be that employee. It drives me crazy. Drives your boss crazy. I probably drive my boss crazy when I do that too, so that's fair enough. But rebellion at work is not admirable. Everyone knows you're rebellious. They may not put that word on it, but they know that you're not the person they want on their team to get a project done. They know you're not the person they're going to call and say, hey, can you help me out of this problem I'm dealing with, this ditch? You just keep, you know, it's like, oh, I have to deal with Peter again? You know, it's like, I don't want to do that. It just, it wears me out working with him, right? So you all know who's rebellious around you. You see it. Not a very disciple-like quality, is it? A couple more verses here. We'll get you to read some verses again. So Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Somebody else, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. And finally, somebody else, Proverbs 22, verse 4. All in Proverbs, that should be easy, right? So Proverbs 9:10. Who's got that one for me? Oh, come on, anyone who hasn't read before. Alan.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Okay. Who's got Proverbs 15:16?
Yes. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil.
Little with fear of the Lord is better than great wealth with turmoil. You believe that? Most of us don't. Proverbs 22, verse 4.
Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life.
Okay. Oh, I got to be humble too? Okay. Yeah. Not one of my strengths, but I keep working on it. Pray for me. Okay. What's the common theme in those three?
Fear.
Who's your boss?
God.
Do you have fear of the Lord?
Yep.
So are you going to be rebellious? You know, it really is that simple in some ways. Right? God has placed me where he's placed me. He's put me in this job. He's given me this role. He's given me, heaven help me, this boss. Okay? Who am I working for? God. Am I going to rebel or am I going to work on it? You know? Be a star anyway. So, we need another list. I'm still working on handwriting. You see, if the more I write, the better it, no, it gets worse, doesn't it? Okay. I was told in eighth grade, Peter, you know, the teacher saying, okay, all essays for this class will be written in longhand. This was before computers. This was before abacuses. Who am I kidding? I'm old. Anyway, all essays will be written longhand on college rule paper, double spaced, et cetera, you know. Turns to me, Peter, you print. My longhand was that bad. I figured I was going to be a doctor. Anyone who writes that badly, you know. There you go. Didn't work. Okay. So even my printing is bad now. It keeps degenerating, you know. Okay. How not to rebel at work? We all have the temptation. Well, maybe some of you don't. Most of us probably have the temptation. I have the temptation. We'll go with me. 100% of me has the temptation to rebel at work. I think I know more than my bosses do almost every day. And whether I do or not isn't material, is it? They're the boss. I'm not.
That's right.
So.
Isn't that being part of being arrogant when we think that way? That
Exactly.
It's arrogance. It's not humble. One of those verses we just read, humility and the fear of the Lord. Bring wealth. That's a good thought. And honor. And I particularly like the last one. And life. You know, I kind of like that one too. So, yeah. So how can I be a non-rebellious employee, even in a tough job, even in a tough circumstance? What are some ideas?
Pray.
Hmm? Pray. Hey, that's the top of my list. Prayer. Okay.
Obedience.
Headphones. Headphones. I like it. Yeah. If the headphones, let me comment, if the job's appropriate to it, that can be a great way to tune out all the stuff that makes you angry about work and just, I'm here, I'm working, you know. It's not a bad thing. Some workplaces, that would be a very bad move, so, you know.
Yeah.
Bear in mind. Yeah. If your job involves listening to others a lot, that's not so good. If your job involves sitting at the computer working, well, maybe that's good. Anyway, others, practicals. I'm sorry. Memory verses, yes. That's a great thing to call up. Okay, I got that. Alan?
Just close your mouth and listen.
Yeah. Close your mouth and listen.
Do your job.
Do your job. There's a concept, huh?
Take every
thought. And that's, I'll do another aside here. I do the asides.
Turn off yourself.
You might have noticed that. But turn off yourself. Before I got into management and had the lobotomy and all that that you do to get into management, but before I got into management, I used to wonder, why do they keep giving me pats on the back or a bonus or a raise or a promotion or whatever? All I do is show up every day and work. I do my job. When I became a manager, I looked and said, that's why you show up every day and do your job. You are a rock star, trust me. You know? Anyone here who's a boss, anyone who manages people, is that true? You give your left arm for more people who just show up and do their jobs, right? You know, it's like, wow, I didn't realize I'm outstanding. I show up and do my job. Okay. Anyway, so do your job. I love that. Okay, others. Practicals. How to not be a rebel at work.
Take every thought captive.
Take every. Oh, I like that. It's even scriptural, isn't it? Take every thought captive, which is kind of the biblical version of the... think happy tots.
Desire, anyway. Desire to be like Christ.
Desire to be like Christ, I can tell, yeah.
Prayer. Be serving.
Do to others what you would have.
Do unto others. Oh.
That's a be of service.
Another rest, right? Yes.
Find common objectives you can get behind.
Okay. Yeah. I don't agree with what I've been asked to do specifically, but I can see why it's done and, you know, get your mind wrapped around it that way.
Be serving.
Be serving. Ooh, I like it. And I'm out of paper, so I'm sure there are more, but we're going to stop there. Okay. So you had no idea that the entire class depended on how big my handwriting happened to be. Anyway, so... Be serving. I love it. These are practicals, and a lot of them are very, very spiritual practicals, especially the headphones. I think that's deeply spiritual. Depends on what you're listening to, I guess. The Bible on tape, yeah. You know. Okay. At work, I can listen to music, but I cannot listen to music with words. Because I'll listen to the words. You know, it distracts me. I love music. I work better with music, but I don't work better with music if somebody's actually singing.
Right.
Hush, hush. You know. So I have an iPod filled with classical, jazz, instrumental, all instrumental. Okay. So, yeah, there are practicals that we can do. Now, I think 3 weeks ago when I was, Jeff and I split the class, for those who weren't here for my jokes, but... You know, I talked a lot about what we're teaching here is how to be the proverbial worker. Get that? Yeah, okay. I tried. It's a proverbial worker. The worker based on Proverbs, right? So the proverbial worker is not lazy. is not a rebel. And if you go back to that other list, a lot of other qualities, right? And each one of those deserves a study out. Proverbs alone will give you a lot of verses that will help teach you how to behave. But the idea here is, and this is week 3 of 3 weeks, on proverbial wisdom for the workplace. You'll go from here to proverbial wisdom on some other topic for 3 more weeks, and then 3 more, okay? They're all going to be great. But think about this. You know, you're trying to sum up here, and we have a few minutes left, I guess, but not too many. But the key lesson here is, how can I be this person at work? Really? Okay? Well, go back to the title. I told you this is about motivation. How's your motivation, right? So what is your best motivation for your attitude, effort, whatever, for your work? Pleasing God?
You've been blessed.
Been blessed?
Gratefulness.
Gratefulness. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5. You're all right on it. While you're turning here, we are witnesses for Christ at our workplace. How many of you are so blessed that you work in a workplace where in your office area you're with other disciples? Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's maybe, 12 to 15% of the room, and the rest of us, the 85%. You're the disciple there. They're looking at you. And even if you work with other disciples, you 2 or you 3 or whatever are the disciples there, right? Okay? I mean, we talk about it in evangelism all the time, right? I might be the only Bible someone's ever going to get a chance to read.
Come on.
And if I lose my temper, or if I rebel and get passive resistance going and not work, if I'm that hard guy to work with, if I'm the one nobody really wants to hang around with, how much are they going to care about my faith? I don't want to be like Peter. So whatever his faith is, who cares? Okay? So at the end of the day, I've got my motivation. Thank you, God, for giving me life today. Thank you, God, for this job. Thank you, God, for a paycheck. Thank you, God, that I'm here. And then I've got this other piece. Let me share the blessings of God with others. And you're not going to be able to do that effectively if you are the campus grouch. Okay?
Right.
If you're the complainer, write it off. Please don't share your faith because you're giving God a bad name. Okay? You know? Yeah, whatever church he goes to, I'm never going to go there. You know, it's like, come on. Be that guy. And, you know, both of those should motivate me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, it starts in. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We've talked about that, right? He's the boss. And I think we don't talk enough about fear of the Lord sometimes. You know? God, you know, the one that if I see his face, I will die. That one, yeah. This is a big deal. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. A lot of people take pride in what is seen. Who wrote this book? Well, who is the human author? Paul, yeah. How much did the church pay him? Nada. Rien. Nothing. Okay? He was a tent maker. You think people admired that? Colossians, he talks about that. Thessalonians, he talks about that, I think it is, right? You know, I was labored among you, right? I took nothing from you, okay? So that we can answer those who take pride in what is seen, most of your coworkers, rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, a lot of people say that about me, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, not so much, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. In my workplace, I go in every day, and there are 50, 60 people in my office overall. And I am the lone disciple as far as I know. I'm one of maybe five or six people on the whole floor who would even admit publicly to having any Christianity whatsoever. I mean, this is a technology group. They're not, don't tend to be believers, you know. So what I do matters. Because I'm telling people, yeah, tonight I'm going and teaching this class on Proverbs at work, you know, about the wisdom of the Bible and how it helps you work. And they're saying, huh? But aside from that, if I'm going to talk about God, I better have a good life showed to them. Right?
Right.
So, one more. How are we doing on time? When am I supposed to quit? 9:30, right? I guess that's one page. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. What are some ways that a disciple should stand out at work?
In speech.
What makes me different at work, visibly different to everybody?
In speech.
Speech.
In action.
Okay, what about my speech?
Not curse.
Not cursing, that's a start. But you know, there's this verse that I love that I memorized years ago. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That's the no cursing. But, oh boy, did we go over this with my kids so many times. It didn't stick too well, but I'm still working on it. Apologize, yeah. You know what the rest of that verse is? Only what is useful for building others up according to their needs. About 80% of the time, I find myself saying something that builds me up according to my needs. I say, whoa, no, what's your need? How can I build you up? Okay, not cursing and building others up. Are you the most encouraging person at work? You ought to be. Okay, what did you say? I'm sorry, I'm multitasking here. But Yeah, and what was it?
Oh, it was apologizing when you do make
apologize. Ooh, which ties in with humility. Oh, man.
Being a hard worker.
Hard worker. Yep. Yep. Respecting authority. Okay, what else? Huh? Getting to work early. Hard worker. Be there early. Leave late. Not too late. You got to make it to church. Okay.
Do things nobody else wants to do.
Yeah. Do what? No, do the thing. Yeah.
Volunteer. What?
Do the things others won't. Oh, you need help moving those servers? Yeah, I find that kind of fun, but then I'm a geek. Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
Volunteer.
Okay. So volunteering. Speech, actions. What else stands out?
Attitude.
Cheerful. I lecture my teams. I have technical teams and customer support teams and stuff like that. And I always lecture them. We know when we're going to get something hard to do, we ask you to do something. And what your first temptation is to do is say, we can't do it. Can you do this? No. No. The liaison answer, my answer, yes. But let me figure out how. Okay? Not easy. But yeah, you know, anything's possible. We'll find a way. Yeah.
Be the best at what you do.
Be the best. Now, that's not always actually within my capability, right?
Yeah.
You might not be the best programmer in the group. You might not be, but be the best you can be. You may not be better than everyone else in real life.
Lead by example.
Lead by example, yeah.
Respect the boss and don't argue with him or her.
Do everything without complaining.
Showing up before time.
I'm sorry?
Showing up before time.
Yep. I heard that there. Be there. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Honest. There's one.
Integrity.
This is another pet peeve of Peter, the employer. Okay. You mess up and push the wrong red button, and something goes, and all of a sudden we have a disaster going on for a bunch of customers. If you raise your hand and say, I just pushed the wrong red button, and I think here's what happened, and how can I help fix it now?
Amen.
Then I do not take your head off. And in fact, I appreciate that you saved us a whole lot of diagnostic cycles trying to figure out what happened when what happened was you pushed the wrong red button. If, on the other hand, you pretend you have no idea what happened, and I catch you in it, quite seriously, you won't work for me anymore. I've been lied to once that way, and he left that day. I can't deal with it, because you cannot work a large technical environment and have wrong information.
Right.
It's not wrong to make a mistake. It's really, really wrong to lie. Okay? A disciple certainly should never be the liar. If you did something wrong, own up to it and trust God to work out the consequences.
That's right.
Now, not all bosses are going to have the same attitude I have towards that. And a lot of my employees have trouble believing I would do it that way, but, you know. But trusting that in your boss might be hard. Trusting God is not so hard. Be honest. Be honest even in the tough situations. Okay? And again, it just really matters. I pushed a few of you I shared with. I had a really, really, really bad day at work about a month ago. Made a really stupid, well, I can't say I made a stupid decision. I missed an opportunity in a very bad way. Okay? Should have done something, didn't get it done. Cost the company potentially $200,000. I've got it down to $100,000 and shrinking, so I'm working on it, okay? And I'm like, okay, they're going to fire me. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, this is not good. That's more than a week of my salary right there. Well, more than a week of my salary. Anyway, but yeah. Anyway. Okay? I was like, I'm doomed. And I had a couple of brothers praying for me. I was like, oh man, this is just not good. But what I did do, I went and said, okay, here's what happened. So I went to the CFO and the CEO. Said, here's what happened. Here's what it is. You know, I could take every action possible to fix it, but I did it. You know, it's one of the hardest things I ever did, but it wasn't like I was making hard choices. It wasn't a hard choice, to tell the truth. It was hard to do. I don't wanna, you know, but it wasn't a hard choice. And, you know, the response boiled down to, well, Peter, we know you're going to do the right thing in any circumstance that you're aware of the right thing to do, so we're not worried about it. Just fix it.
Wow.
And I'm saying, thank you, God. That was God. Man would have fired me. That was God.
Yes.
Okay? But
you would have fired you.
Yeah. I wouldn't have fired me.
Yeah.
By my rules, I wouldn't have fired me because it was an honest mistake and I was honest, right? But a lot of people would get fired over that. Right?
Yeah.
But God's in control. You've got to trust God. And that, I mean, that was just, it was scary for me. It really was. I don't usually make big, big boo-boos. I make a lot of small boo-boos all day long. But I don't usually do major stupid like that. So it was tough. It was humbling. But the idea that I would ever cover it up or try to blame someone else or something, you know, that's not possible. I couldn't sleep. You know, there's no way I could live through that. And that's where we need to be. That's not to brag on myself. That's just to say a lot of years as a disciple, I know what right is. God got me this job. He can get me another one. Okay? So trust God. And then you can work with patience in adversity. You can do hard work. You can be honest. You can be cheerful, positive. You can respect authority. All those things, that's who you should be at work. So what I really hope out of this is not that these are cool lessons on Thursday nights for three of the last 4 weeks. but that this is something that each one of you, when you go to work tomorrow, next week, that you can do it.
Amen.
Maybe you're already doing awesome at it, and amen, just do so more and more. Maybe you're struggling with it. I hope this helps. It's not simple for anyone, but it's right. You know, Spike Lee said it, do the right thing. You know, just do it. We know what it is. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's simple. You know what's right. So in any case, that's it. Let's pray and close out here. Jeff, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you, God, for this chance to come and look at your word tonight. Thank you for all things we've been able to talk about with Peter tonight. Appreciate his heart and sharing about being motivated, God. I pray that we'll not be lazy. God, we'll fight that in our characters. It will grow. Father, help us to not be rebellious. Mm-hmm. God, just to really be a great team player and really put things in, just work as if we're working for you.
Amen.
God, put that in front of our, put that Colossians 3:23 passage right in front of our eyes.
Amen.
Let us consider that as we go forward, God, and be really have an impact on the world around us.
Amen.
And we spend so much of our time at work. God, so much of the time we spend, God, that you give us is at work with other people, God. Let us be ministers of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
God, let us make a difference in people's lives as we go out.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You taught a really good class.